Now we turn to our Friday political commentators, E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post and David Brooks of The New York Times. Welcome back.
Good to be with you.
And let's start with the Eric Holder resignation and his years as attorney general. He was considered a heat shield, protecting the president on some issues, and also, as we heard from Scott Horsley just now, a lightning rod for criticism from both the left and the right. E.J., what stands out for you as you think about Eric Holder's tenure?
Well, I think he had a lot of courage, and I think that he's leaving on a high note. There was a period when he was under immense attack, and he leaves now with that visit to Ferguson that I think was very important in highlighting the issue and actually bringing people together. Sentencing reform and over-incarceration issues he cares about have a lot of support now, not just on the left, but on the libertarian side and among many conservatives, and he's been very aggressive on voting rights. Matt Apuzzo, a reporter at The New York Times, had a great line where he said his biggest supporters are also among his loudest critics. And, you know, liberals have been upset on civil liberties connected to terrorism, the pressure he's put on journalism, and some are unhappy they didn't go after individuals in the Wall Street mess. But I think on the whole, he leaves in a very positive way. And as I say, I think he was gutsy in the issues he was willing to raise.
David Brooks?
Yeah, I guess the cliche and the conventional wisdom, which is always correct, is that he was very strong on civil rights and very not so strong on civil liberties. And I guess I agree with that. The sentencing reform, I think, was the crucial thing. Our incarceration system, you don't have to be a liberal to think it's sort of out of control. And so I think he hit that very hard. He also is someone who saw the daily intelligence briefs and therefore took a pretty tough, hawkish line on civil liberties, which reminded me very much of the Bush administration. I should have to say, when civil liberties issues hit home, I get more offended. And he was really tough on journalists. He was disgracefully tough on journalists. His policies toward the Associated Press, toward Fox News, which the Rosen, who he subpoenaed, or whose records he went after, it was appalling. And so his record on impinging the First Amendment is the one area where clearly, I think, stepped over the line.
I want to move on and talk about the launching that we saw this week of the first U.S. and allied airstrikes on ISIS targets in Syria. We heard President Obama speak at the U.N. where he talked of being at a crossroads between war and peace. EJ, is the U.S. really at a crossroads, or are we firmly on a path of war that will go on for many years?
Well, we are on a path of a war of some kind. I think one of the important things to keep in mind about what we're up to is why is Obama saying we're going to do these airstrikes, but we don't want to put boots on the ground? The common explanation for that is political. Americans don't want the boots on the ground, or he doesn't want to go back into Syria. But I thought David's colleague Tom Friedman made a very good point, which is if ISIS cannot be pushed back by forces inside the Middle East, particularly inside Iraq and Syria, then whatever we would do would not necessarily be sustainable. But that was a very tough and almost tragic speech. There was David and I like to talk about how Obama has read Reinhold Niebuhr with his tragic sense of how the world is an imperfect place and you've got to act anyway. That speech really exuded that kind of view of the world. There was no naivete there.
David, is that what you heard as well?
I heard Niebuhr straight through. I always hear Niebuhr, though.
This is what you two talk about
when you get
together.
Every time I watch primetime TV, American Family,
Niebuhr brings us together.
Now, I actually thought it was relatively un-Niebuhrian. It was like the most muscular speech of his presidency. I also happen to think it was one of the best speeches of his presidency. He's been called a reluctant warrior. He's been called a professorial. He really objects to being called Juan. He's clearly not Juan anymore, W-A-N. He was really out there.
I thought you were talking about Obi-Wan.
No, or other Juans.
Don Juan.
Juan Gonzalez. No, he was very aggressive, and it is we will degrade ISIS. It was not reluctant. It was not ambivalent. He was much more assertive on military power. This is a guy who gave a speech in West Point the other month where he said military power is not the answer. Well, apparently war is now the answer. He's much more assertive on democracy and the need for democracy. He was not a reluctant warrior, so I thought the speech was sort of a coming out that he is a war president. And so I think there is a realistic goal here. We can't control the Middle East. We can't control what happens in Syria and Iraq. We can make sure the worst people don't win. And I do think the bombing campaign, it's not a positive thing. It's preventing something truly horrific from happening.
It is a kind of containment. And that's why I think I would still defend the idea. It's an Niebuhrian in the sense of being realistic. You can be hawkish, but within certain realistic limits. And I think that's where he is. But it was a very aggressive speech.
I want to get to one more big event at the UN this week, and that was the climate summit. There are two new nationwide polls out this week that seem to show Americans expressing more concern about the issue. New York Times, CBS News poll, 42% now consider global warming an imminent threat. But at the same time, about a quarter of people say they doubt it will have a serious impact at all. 10% don't accept global warming exists at all. David Brooks, how do you read this? And do you see this becoming a potent political or campaign issue?
No. I think polls on environmental issues are like the second biggest topic of lying in America. And people say they are concerned about environmental concerns, and I think they take global warming or climate change very seriously. And they say when pollsters ask them, would you be willing to sacrifice some economic growth? Oh, of course I would. I care about the planet. If you actually propose a carbon tax, or which is the most sensible response to this, no. Hell no. And so there's a reason no politicians coming out for the sort of things you need to do to actually address climate change.
EJ, briefly?
Surprise, surprise. I have a somewhat more optimistic view for those who want to deal with climate change. I think two things have happened to stop action on this. One is the bad economy where people got very nervous, and I think the improvement in the economy will open the way for some action. You need some change in the Republican Party. You had Republicans like John McCain and Bob Corker who were once willing to do something. You've got to have a little more freedom in the Republican Party to act. And then if we did a tax, it could be offset so that people would be reimbursed for the cost of a carbon tax. But it's still a ways to go.
Okay. Thanks so much to you both. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Good to be with you.
EJ Dionne of The Washington Post and David Brooks of The New York Times.